Shalom from Jerusalem, dear listeners. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 19th of December, Monday, 2016. Hope you're doing well in your part of the world. We have a great show for you today. In just a few minutes, we're going to be speaking to Mark Zell, chairman of Republican Overseas Israel chapter, to talk about the nomination of David Friedman, Donald Trump's attorney, advisor on Israel, who is now becoming the ambassador once the administration takes over. He is the new ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Israel, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful development. A lot of people disagree, and we'll get to all the haters in just a few minutes, giving you some analysis of what was said recently about David Friedman's appointment. You know what I'm talking about, the J Street and the like, who are against something that's pro-Israel. What a surprise. We'll get to that. And then we'll speak to Mark Zell as well, get his take. He's ecstatic that David Friedman, also American Friends of Bet El, the president of that wonderful institution, Bet El Institutions, let's be clear, the yeshiva and all the wonderful projects in Bet El. It's great, David Friedman being appointed. I think he's going to be the most pro-Israel U.S. ambassador ever. We'll get to that in the second half of the show. But before, we've been focusing a lot on the program on Amona, the community near Ofra in the Binyamin area, which is set, or it was set, for demolition by December the 25th. So the latest on Amona, and it's somewhat complicated here. We'll get to an article by the Times of Israel. I went through all the various articles trying to explain what happened at Amona, what the situation is. What it comes down to is the residents there voted to take a government proposal, to accept the proposal, so that there will not be a forced eviction and no violence between security forces and the residents there. Unfortunately, though, with this approval of the proposal, the residents will have to leave where they are living now, where they have been living since, what, 1990-something or other, where they have been living for about 20 years or so. They're leaving Amona. The agreement is as follows. 24 of Amona's 40 families will be receiving, at least on paper, okay, this is the agreement, mobile homes on a plot just meters away from there, from the place where they actually are located. So all this fuss, and they're just going to be moved a few meters in one direction because some anti-Israel organizations came up with a claim that that's private land. The Supreme Court went along with it, even though there's no owner and no proof that it is private land, other than maybe just a few percentage, just a small percent of the area where Amona is. So 24 of Amona's 40 families, this is breaking news. I mean, this just happened in the last 24 hours, will be moving. And it's up from 12 families. That was the initial offer. 12 families would be receiving these mobile homes nearby. So now it's up to 24 families. The remaining families will be giving temporary residence in Ofra. That's the community nearby, just several kilometers down the road. The question is, what's going to happen long term? What's going to happen after these new mobile homes are put up and these residents are in Ofra temporarily? According to what I am understanding in terms of the deal, they will all be together eventually, and the government is going to put up 52 houses and other public structures down the road in this on the same hill, but just a few meters down the road, and then that's the deal again. So they have a temporary solution, and then eventually, by the deal, they'll have a community. The residents of Amona will stay together, but they'll just be moved from their current location. And I'd like to see the government hold to their end of the bargain. And I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I mean, if you look back at Gush Katif, we were told that every resident, there's a solution for every resident. People would be set up in homes. They'd have permanent structures. Everything would be taken care of. All the T's were crossed and I's were dotted. Yet here we are now, 11 years later, and while the majority of Gush Katif residents have permanent dwellings, there's still some who don't. There's still some who live in, I would call it, what some would refer to as a refugee camp down in the south, and are not permanently resettled. So will the government do what's right and resettle these people? And I'm just thinking about Migron. Every case is different, but the residents of Migron, who were also relocated just a kilometer or two from their original place on claims of private land ownership, which, again, we could talk 3-4 hours about the issues of land ownership and state ownership versus private ownership, but the residents of Migron who were removed from their homes and put on the side of a hill and were given, some of them given actually some of the recycled caravans from Gush Katif nonetheless, and some of them still believe and still feel that they are refugees or living in a refugee camp there on the side of the mountain near the Psagot, just under the Psagot winery. So let's see what happens. Let's see if the government upholds its part of the deal. Let's see if Amona becomes a growing and thriving permanent community in the Binyamin region. There are other cases too, other promises of building in Bet El when they took down Ulpana. I'm not sure that building project has advanced. So bottom line is, and myself, I represent myself. I can't represent the people of Amona, but for their sake, I'm calling on the government to uphold your end of the bargain, your end of the agreement, such an agreement that all, it seems like all MKs or most MKs, including Bezalel Smotrich and Yehuda Glick and those so-called right-wing MKs or pro-Amona MKs, if you will, they were encouraging the residents to take the deal, which they did in the end. Let's see if they were right, and let's see if the government upholds their end of the bargain and keeps Amona together and lets it return to a thriving and growing, beautiful Jewish community in Binyamin. And this isn't the end, folks, because there are other communities which are also still, till today, including houses in Ofra, houses in the Netiv Avot neighborhood where I live in Elazar that are on the chopping blocks as we speak. The Knesset trying to pass this regulation bill, which would legalize approximately 4,000 homes. Amona wasn't part of that deal. Let's see if that gets passed. Let's see if the Knesset passes that bill, and then let's see if the bill is upheld in the Supreme Court. If not, if that bill is struck down, then perhaps we'll have to reevaluate whether this incident or this decision by Amona to relocate to see if it was worthwhile. Because if this is just another another evacuation, which we've seen again in Migron, Ulpana, now Amona, if this is just another, and of course Gush Katif, another one of these cases where Jews are thrown off their land and get nothing in return, and it just becomes areas which then possibly one day end up in the hands of Hamas, then we'll all kick ourselves. Those who were responsible for the deal, those who promised, made promises if they don't uphold their end of the bargain. So we'll have to see how it plays out. Anyway, my name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network, thelandofisrael.com. We are going to take a break for station identification to thank our sponsors. When we get back, Mark Zell, Chairman, Republicans Overseas Israel Chapter. I believe he is entering the Knesset as we are going to reach him to talk about the appointment of David Friedman as the next U.S. ambassador to Israel. Shout out to Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Get in touch with me during the week. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what you think of the topics. Maybe there's somebody out there you think I should be talking to, an interview you would like to hear. Let me know what you think. Josh@thelandofisrael.com. I appreciate each and every email. I read every one, and when I can, I read them on the show. Also on Facebook, Joshua Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N, and on Twitter, at Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Short break. We'll be right back with Mark Zell, Chairman, Republicans Overseas here in Israel. Founded in 1902, World Mizrahi is a global, Torah-driven, community-focused educational organization committed to Jewish identity and destiny. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views. And I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself, and I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff, will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
And we are back here on Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston. Thanks so much for joining us. It is the 19th of December, 2016, from a cold Jerusalem. We've had some rain over the last couple of days, which has been really nice. Now it's sunny, but nice and chilly. Winter, for those who know me, is my favorite season, so I'm loving the winter here in Israel. In just a minute or so, we are going to get on the line with Mark Zell, the chairman of the Republicans Overseas Israel chapter, who was instrumental in leading the campaign here in Israel to nominate Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States. So we'll get to him in just a few minutes to talk about the appointment of David Friedman, who will be the next U.S. ambassador to Israel. So I was just reading over the all of the different commentators, and it seems like everyone had their say in terms of David Friedman and what they think of his appointment as Israel's, as the U.S., the United States' next ambassador to Israel. Just to give you a little bit of insight here, the Jerusalem Post had an analysis yesterday, and it said the following. It said, the Prime Minister Netanyahu could have been excused for dancing a jig when U.S. President-elect Donald Trump announced his longtime bankruptcy lawyer David Friedman as nominee for Washington's next ambassador to Israel. For Friedman is the anti-Martin Indyk and the anti-Daniel Kurtzer, two former Jewish ambassadors to Israel who often obsessed about the so-called settlements. Kurtzer and Indyk, when they served as ambassadors, and when they left to take other positions, saw construction anywhere beyond the Green Line as the main hurdle to Middle East peace. Friedman, who is the president of American Friends of Beth El Institutions, takes a completely opposing view. So that is the Jerusalem Post beginning of an analysis in the paper the other day, talking about how Prime Minister Netanyahu is probably happy to have an ally who will be the next ambassador. On the other hand, here you have several others, including Daniel Kurtzer himself, quoted in the New York Times, talking about the appointment of Friedman. Again, Kurtzer served President George W. Bush from 2001 to 2005 as the ambassador. It says here in the New York Times that he was alarmed by the appointment. Quote, he has made clear, this referring to Friedman, that he will appeal to a small minority of Israeli and American extremists, ignoring the majority of Israelis who continue to seek peace. Mr. Kurtzer, now a professor at Princeton, said in an interview, he went on to say the following, quote, Friedman's appointment as ambassador runs directly contrary to Mr. Trump's professed desire to make the ultimate deal between Israelis and Palestinians. So David Friedman, who I think will be the most pro-Israel ambassador to the most pro-U.S. ambassador to Israel, being criticized by Daniel Kurtzer, saying that, what, you're an extremist because you believe in building in Judea and Samaria? You believe the embassy belongs in Israel's capital, Jerusalem? That makes you an extremist? Ignoring the majority of Israelis who continue to seek peace? The majority of Israelis continue to seek peace. I mean, that it's a given. We all want peace. The question is, how do you get there? Do we continue to go down the road of a so-called two-state solution? Or do we try something new, which perhaps David Friedman could bring to the table? Kurtzer or Indyk or all these others who've served as ambassadors since the Oslo Accords until today, we're talking 20-plus years now. What has the push for a two-state solution gotten us? Have we advanced peace? Has peace gotten any closer? Maybe it's time to try something new. So I'm not exactly sure. Well, I mean, it's politically motivated, but the criticism here, like Kurtzer, maybe just because he couldn't get it done, and Indyk, who couldn't get it done, also critical of the appointment. At the same time, of course, J Street, the anti-Israel organization who pretends to be pro-Israel, pro-peace, but let's not pull any punches when it comes to J Street. they have on their front page of their website the following. It says, Trump's pick for U.S. ambassador to Israel has shown contempt for J Street supporters and the values of the vast majority of American Jews. Stand with us to fight his nomination. They're going all out to fight David Freeman. The headline actually is, he called you capos. Apparently, there was that reference made in an op-ed on Israel National News in one of the opinion pieces in which David Freeman called out J Street to a point. He referred to their members as capos. And yesterday I actually saw, this isn't me talking, this is different opinion pieces who said that J Street's worse than capos. I read this yesterday because capos, while they were Jews who turned in other Jews, were doing so under duress, whereas J Street has sided on policies which are contrary to Israel's interests time and time again out of their own volition. The people who support J Street and the positions they take are harmful to Israel. So we had those yesterday I read who said that they're even worse than those during World War II who turned in other Jews during the Holocaust. So what do you think about that, dear listeners? Get in touch with me. Let me know. Is that too much David Freeman in an op-ed to refer to J Street as capos? And I don't have the direct quote in front of me, so I don't want to misquote him. Let me know, josh@thelandofisrael.com. Curious to know what you think of that. But of course, J Street on their front page in this campaign that they have to fight his nomination, right under the headline here, of course, and these few lines saying that Friedman is a bad pick, they have a big donate button. Of course, that's their mandate there. They'd like to raise a little money, a little moolah, in the process of trying to oust the nomination of David Friedman. So there you have all the various opinions and a lot of people weighing in. I personally think I cannot wait for David Friedman, the ambassador, to come over and to be the most pro-Israel U.S. ambassador in history. He's the president of American Friends of the Bet El Yeshiva and their educational institutions, which I know very, very well from my time in Bet El on Israel National News and Israel National Radio. I think this is a wonderful thing for the people of Israel, a wonderful thing for the state of Israel. And it's unbelievable to me that Jewish organizations are criticizing what is in Israel's best interests, having a friend coming over here instead of somebody who's going to ram these policies, pushing for a two-state down our throat, which have only caused more and more Israeli blood to be spilled through the streets of Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Judea, and Samaria over the last 20 years. So this is, I think it's an amazing thing. Friedman is going to be nominated. Here we're going to get to Mark Zell, chairman, Republicans Overseas, the Israel chapter, who's joining us here in Jerusalem. Mark, welcome to Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Mark, welcome to Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
Great to be here. How do I sound?
You sound great. You sound amazing. Okay. You sound happy. You sound very, very happy. Is that the case?
I don't want to say ecstatic because that would be probably an extreme comment, but I feel great, yeah.
That's good. David Friedman, I just read here, our next U.S. ambassador to Israel, I just read several of the opinions here. Those who are happy he's being appointed and those who are upset. Those who are upset include J Street, former Ambassador Daniel Kurtzner, The New York Times, on and on and on. Let's hear your opinion on Attorney David Friedman, our next U.S. Ambassador to Israel. What do you think of him?
Well, first of all, I've worked with him closely throughout the campaign. I have a high regard for him. He's one of the top lawyers in the United States. He's a tremendous intellect, a great Jew, and an unhesitating, unqualified friend of Israel. So I can't think of a better person to represent the Trump administration, a very close friend of Donald Trump for over 15 years, to the state of Israel. It will be a remarkable change of pace. We've had the current ambassador is a fine fellow, Dan Shapiro, but his boss is another story altogether, and the Trump administration promises to bring fundamental changes for the better in the U.S.-Israeli relationship, and David Friedman is exactly the guy who can help put those policies into effect.
Yet in this crazy world of ours, up is down and down is up. I mean, I can't tell you how strong some of the condemnations are from people like J Street and other organizations who are beside themselves at disappointment. What would you say to those organizations?
Well, I think I said, I would say to them, you know, get a life. I mean, these guys can't, like many in the Democratic Party and on the left, just can't reconcile themselves to the fact that the election was lost on November 8th. And they can't reconcile them to the fact that Donald Trump and Mike Pence are going to be the next president and vice president of the United States. And the Trump administration is going to effect extraordinary changes for the better, not only with respect to Israel in the first 100 days of its administration, but for the United States domestically and throughout the world. It's going to be a real ride, and they don't like it. They don't want to be on that train. They want to do everything they can to derail it. They've tried that. They've failed up to now, and they're going to try to do it now with David Friedman. They've called Trump names that I can't even mention here on your program. They've called me those kinds of names. They're calling David Friedman those kinds of names now. To anybody associated with this administration, just attracts their vituperation. So they're in a state of denial. They don't know what to do with themselves. Get a life.
Last question. Everyone is talking about the embassy, the potential of the embassy moving to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. The Trump administration, the upcoming administration, says that that is going to happen. We're hearing it. Again, there are those who think it shouldn't happen. I, of course, and I know you do as well, believe it should happen. What do you think in terms of the facts on the ground? We've had other presidents make those promises to move the embassy. Do you think it's going to happen this time around?
I believe it's going to happen. I'm in touch with senior members of the transition team. In fact, one of them is here in Israel even as we speak. I believe the embassy will go to Jerusalem. I think it's the easiest thing for them to do. They've got a beautiful civil facility, in fact, two facilities in Jerusalem. All they got to do is change the sign or put his office in, which he intends to do, in one of those places, and the embassy will be in Jerusalem. They don't have to have any special legislation. The president doesn't have to take any particular action. They don't even have to spend a dime, quite honestly. The beauty of it is not only will it signal symbolically the United States recognition of the status of Jerusalem as in its reality today, but also will be the end of the regime of the consulate general, which sees itself as the embassy to the PLO. This is something that has been troubling U.S.-Israeli relations for the last 50 years. And this is something that this president and this administration will bring to an end.
I think that's the headline. I think the headline needs to be, you know, in the world of social media, hashtag change the sign. It's that simple. Change the sign on the consulate. Make it the embassy.
Change the sign.
Yeah,
you got it.
So I'm gonna run with your idea. Hashtag change the sign, and let's go on that campaign. Let's start with that. When the Trump administration takes over and it actually becomes a reality, and people start talking about, you know, when is the embassy moving? Hashtag change the sign. You heard it here first, Mark Zell. We're going to let you go. I know you have a busy day. Chairman of the Republicans Overseas Israel chapter, I want to thank you so much for your time. And let's look forward to the future. It looks like a bright future for us here in Israel.
It is. Josh, it's fantastic talking to you. And have a great day to you and all your listeners.
Have a wonderful
Bye-bye.
Day. Take care. All the best. This has been another edition of Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston. It is the 19th of December, 2016. Don't forget, you can be in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com. Also on Facebook, it's Joshua Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N, on Twitter at Josh Haston. Let me know what you think. Do you think the embassy will, in fact, move to Jerusalem? I like that. Hashtag, what do you think, Ben Bresky? Hashtag, change the sign. That's all they have to do. They have a beautiful building here in Armon HaNatziv. It's a huge structure where the consul general sits, and they change, you know, you get your passport renewed and all these other services. And as Mark said, I mean, it basically is a consulate for the PLO and those Americans who need passport services. Change the sign. Get those people out of there. Put in the embassy and go from there. Make a statement that Jerusalem is the undivided eternal capital of the Jewish people, and the U.S., the first nation that recognized Israel as a state in 1948 when Israel declared statehood. The first nation that did that should be the first to move their embassy here in 2016 or 2017, once the administration takes over January the 20th, back to Jerusalem. That's it for today. Between now and next week, most importantly, everyone, wherever you're listening in this wonderful world of ours, be safe. Big shout out to Benjamin Bresky for all his work. Without him, there's just no sound. And make sure you check out all the other wonderful shows here on the Land of Israel Network. I am Josh Haston. I am out. Be safe. We'll talk again. Shalom from Jerusalem.
Hanukkah light burns so bright. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Open my lockers in the air sometimes.
Light one candle for the Maccabee children.
Hi, this is Josh Haston, host of Israel Uncensored. And on behalf of all of the show hosts here, we want to wish our listeners all over the world a happy Hanukkah and all the best from Jerusalem. Happy holidays from the team here at thelandofisrael.com.
Hey folks, this is Jeremy Gimpel. I want you to know, if you're a non-Jew from a Christian background or just a full-fledged Christian and you want to come to Israel, the best program, tour, experience that you could possibly have is to go with Hayovel. Now, it's weird. I'm an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and I'm telling Christians to go to this Christian ministry in the middle of Samaria. Let me tell you, there is no better experience for someone outside of the land, outside of the Jewish fold, to come into the land and work alongside the Jewish farmers of Samaria, to learn about the culture, to meet the people. It's an experience like no other, and I think it's also probably the cheapest way to travel to Israel. So go to hayovel.com.